Good morning. We welcome everyone, and it's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. We've been looking at a series of lessons concerning the authority that we have in religion. And we talk today, for example, about the importance of honoring our fathers. And when we think about our Heavenly Father, the importance of honoring Him, I can think of no better way than to go by His authority and go by His Word. And so we've been looking at a series of lessons concerning following God's authority in our religious life. And we began our lessons by looking at the fact that God is our Creator. And because He creates us, He is the one that expresses His authority in religion. We don't follow man. Man didn't make us. God did. And so we follow His Word. And we looked at examples in the Old and New Testament of the importance of staying within the bounds of God's Word. We can't go out of bounds. We have to stay within the authority of God's Word. And we looked at many examples showing the importance of that. And we also noticed that out of all of God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation, there is a portion of it, the New Testament portion, that is for us today. We're not under the law of the patriarchs. We're not under the law of Moses. It has been done away. And so we need to distinguish where we are in God's Word. Out of all the 66 books of the Bible, we have to distinguish what part is authoritative for us today, those portions of the New Testament that are authoritative for us today. We have to handle accurately God's Word and not just simply open it up and put our finger somewhere and say, well, this gives us authority for what we're doing. We have to be in the right place in God's Word. And so that's very important. And this morning, then, we want to look at another very important principle with regard to this matter of Bible authority. Turn with me to the scripture reading in Matthew chapter 28, and verses 18 and 19 that Shannon read earlier. We're going to notice this principle, and that is that sometimes God authorizes something. When we're looking at the portion of scripture for us today, those portions of the New Testament, sometimes God authorizes something in a very general way. Sometimes God authorizes something in a very specific way. And depending upon which one it is, there's going to be either an allowance for some leeway there in what we do, or there will be absolutely no allowance whatsoever if God has specified something. So sometimes God authorizes a practice in a general way. Sometimes God authorizes a practice in a very specific way. And notice how this is illustrated in what we call the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. God delegated His authority to His Son, Jesus Christ. So look at verse 19. Go therefore. Who gave Him the right to say that? That's a command. Go. But who gave Him that right? Well, He has all authority. So first of all, notice the line here. There's got to be authority first. Here is an action over here, but there's got to be authority first. And so we're talking about how do we establish divine authority. There has to be authority first, and then there is something that is to be done. And so notice that. And so we're establishing that authority has to come from God. And it has to be in the right place in God's Word, you see. And then we do something. And so authority first and then the action. But notice in verse 19. Did you notice in verse 19 that there's a statement that is generic? And then there's some things in verse 19 that are very specific. Notice, for example, the very first word, go. Go. Well, it's a command to go, but there's no specific a part of that. He didn't say go by foot, go by boat, go by camel. He just said go. So I want you to notice this morning at the very beginning that sometimes something is said in a general way. And when it's said in a general way, then God allows us to choose an aid or an expediency to carry out that general statement. But then notice the next few words. Go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples has a specific nature to it. He didn't say, go make people. And so that could be make businessmen, make doctors, make politicians, make athletes. He said, make disciples. And so we're narrowing it down to followers, you see. So there's a specific nature to that. but make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Well, baptizing is specific, you see. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there are some things here that are general in nature. There's some things that are more specific in nature. But even in some of those statements, look at this. Baptizing them. Baptizing them. Well, the word baptize means immersion. So that's specific. But he doesn't say baptizing in a pond, baptizing in a creek, baptizing in a baptistry. So even in that specific word, there are some things that are general in nature. And so we've got to, in our lesson today, we've got to look at this principle of how God authorizes generically and specifically. And what we need to understand then is, first of all, this is very important. Look up here. This matter of the idea of something generically, an aid or an expediency, and we'll have some charts here in just a minute. This up here, aids and expediencies, always goes with generic. Always goes with generic. And if something is specific, then there are no additions whatsoever. So this always goes with this, and this always goes with something that is specific. So what do we mean by an aid? What do we mean by an aid? We mean something to help carry out a general command. Go. Well, there's going to be something that's going to help carry that out. It could be going by walking. It could be by a boat. Paul was on a boat, Acts 27. It could be riding a camel. It could be riding a donkey, whatever the case might be in the first century. The other word that we often use with this is the idea of expediency. The idea of expediency. And so look at this right here. Ex, meaning to go out, like exit, to go out. And then look at this root word here, the Latin ped, pedestrian, to walk. The Latin root there means to walk or to carry out. And so it's the idea, expediency is that which helps to carry out something. And so when we're talking about a general command, we need to help carry that out. Well, we use the word aid or the word expediency. But this is very important. When something is stated specifically or explicitly, God spells it out. Make an ark of gopher wood. That's very specific. Gopher wood, not oak, maple, whatever. Then there is to be no addition whatsoever. And so an addition is something that has been added to what has specifically or explicitly stated, and that is unauthorized. Okay. So when God says something generally, then there are going to be authorized aids or expediencies to carry that out. That's not spelled out. And so in any generation, whatever it would take to go, today it's going to be an airplane, it could be a bus, it could be a car. In the first century, it was a boat, a camel, a donkey, walking, whatever the case might be. And so God gives us general statements, and then sometimes God is very specific. And so this morning then, in our lesson, in our series on Bible authority, I want to look at what has been called generic and specific authority. Let's use a few examples beginning in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. God has always authorized this way, where He has been generic and specific. And we see some examples in the Old Testament, and then we'll get to the New Testament involving the church today. For example, in Genesis chapter 6, in the matter of making the ark, notice that God said, beginning in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. What part of that statement is general? What part of that statement is specific? Make an ark. Make an ark. Look at that word make. That's a command. You need to go make an ark. But look at the word make. That's general. That's general. He didn't spell out the specifics of what it's going to do to do that. And so Noah would have been authorized any tools to use. He would have been authorized equipment. Maybe go make an ark. You see, make a cart, get some wood, and then knowing the sons, put the wood on the little cart, and then they carry that over to the building site. There's going to be tools involved, ropes, equipment, whatever the case might be. Hammers, nails, whatever. And so there's this make an ark. Well, aids and expediencies are going to be used in carrying out. They are allowed. They are allowed. But what part of that statement is specific and explicit? Of gopher wood. And so nothing else is allowed. But notice this. He said, make an ark. Is that specific? The word ark is. You can't make a chariot. Okay? Can't make a wagon. You can't put your folks in a wagon and they're going to be saved from the flood. You don't go out and make a chariot. Make an ark. You see, there's some things that are specific, you see. But then, of gopher wood, oak's not allowed. Maple's not allowed. Cherry's not allowed. Okay? You can't make this ark out of iron. You can't make it out of stone. It's got to be made out of gopher wood. And so God has always said some things in a generic way that allow for us to have expediencies and aids. But when He says something specifically, no additions are allowed. And we could keep reading, and we don't have time this morning, but if you keep reading there, look at verse 14. Make rooms thou shalt make in the ark, thou shalt pitch it within and without. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 100 cubits. Read down through verse 15, 16. Are there some more specific things mentioned there? Specific cubits of lengths and heights and widths. So you can't add to that. But then there's going to be some other things in the making of that ark that are going to be generic in nature. Okay? How many floors or stories were there to be? You see, three is specified. There's a door specified, you see. There's some things that are specified. And so when something is specified, no other additions are allowed. When something is generically stated, then aids and expediencies are allowed in carrying that out. Let's look at another Old Testament example for the Jews. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12 with regard to the Passover lamb. With regard to the Passover lamb. Verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month. That's specific. Can't be the 9th. Can't be the 11th. See, we're already seeing some specific things. You can't add to that. It's got to be in the 10th day of this month. So in the 10th day of the month, they shall take them every man a lamb. Now stop right there. They shall take them every man a lamb. They shall take. But it doesn't specify the exact nature of the taking. You could go buy it. Do you know that not everybody in Israel had their own lamb? You got to take a lamb. You could raise it yourself. You could go buy it from someone. You could get it as a gift. But you need to take a lamb. But however you take that lamb, that's going to be allowed, you see. So you might raise it, buy it, get it as a gift, or some other way. So every man take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household be too little for a lamb, then shall he and his neighbor next unto his house take one according to the number of souls. You see, even there's some allowance on the taking if you don't have your own. You could join with another household. But keep reading. Now we're going to see some specific things. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Well, all of a sudden, we've got a lamb that there's a specific thing mentioned. Without blemish. So no other additions. You can't have an ox. It's got to be a lamb. You can't use a chicken. It's specified. It's got to be a lamb. But it's not only a lamb, but it's a lamb without blemish. So you can't, well, I'm going to get part of it right, a lamb, but then I'm going to get a blemished one. No, it's been specified. Unblemished. Well, there's some other things. A male. You can't use a female. No. That would be an addition. So we get the point, don't we? That there are general ways in which God expresses things. It's not all spelled out. It's just a general expression. And then there are some things that are specifically and explicitly spelled out. Unblemished. A male, you see. But keep reading. And you could just keep reading and adding on more of it. Look at this. a male a year old. Anything else is outside of God's authority. Two-year-old, three-year-old, we can just go on and on and on, you see. So, the point is that God authorizes generically and God authorizes specifically. Now, you may be thinking at this point, what really is the big deal? The big deal is that when brethren, some of our own brethren have not understood this point, many in the denominational world have not understood this point, and so just about anything and everything has been brought in under the name of religion because we have ignored the generic and specific authority of God. Let's come now to the New Testament. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. In what we call the Great Commission, similar to Matthew chapter 28, in Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What part of that is generic and what part of that is specific? Go into all the world is generic. He didn't spell out how that's to be done. And so any aid or expediency, any method of travel from walking to riding a boat to riding a camel would be authorized. Go into all the world, but what part of that is specific? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. You see? That's specific. That's explicit. So we're not out talking about sports and politics and economics and the stock market, and on and on and on. We're preaching the gospel, you see. So no other additions to that are allowed. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. So notice both the generic and the specific, and sometimes they're weaved together. It's not just where one part of the verse is on the left-hand side of the chart and another part of the verse is on the right. It could be weaved together. And we have to use good judgment, good reading, good Bible study, and understand these different types of things. So when Jesus said, go into all the world, that would allow for methods of travel, different methods. Different methods of teaching. Am I going to publicly or privately? Am I going to stand up or sit down when I teach? It's got to be the gospel. But there's going to be different teaching methods, you see. And I'm supposed to baptize. Well, that word means to immerse in water, but he doesn't spell out creek, pond, baptistry, lake, ocean, you see. Any of those would be authorized as long as the baptizing is taking place. But then there are some things that are very specific. Gospel is specific, no other subject, you see. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Notice, he that believes and is baptized, that's explicit. So that rules out faith only from our denominational friends. He doesn't say, pray through the sinner's prayer. None of that. That's an addition. And he says, baptize. That's the Greek word means to dip or immerse. And so that rules out sprinkling or pouring and other kinds of additions that can be made, you see. There are sometimes where there are things that are general in nature, allowing for aids and expediencies. There are some times where things are specific in nature, not allowing for anything else. And we've got to be clear about those matters. Let's look at the matter of the Lord's Supper. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. We read this morning. The Apostle Paul, getting his instruction from Jesus, begins in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, specifically, going on down through there, eat this bread and drink this cup. Now look at it. Eat this bread and drink this cup. Does he say, eat this bread, and then I'm going to spell out exactly how you're going to do that? No, that's general in nature. And so that's going to allow for any aid or expediency in the distribution of eating this bread and drinking this cup. Listen, we could all walk by and get it. That would be one way. We could pass it out. That would be another way. There's different ways that you can do that, but as long as you're eating this bread, then whatever aid or we could have a plate, we could not have a plate. You're going to eat the bread one way or the other. And so you're going to carry out that general command one way or the other. We choose to pass it out. I know of some who have chosen to walk by and get it.
It's all the same thing. Nothing's being violated one way or the other. But then there's some things that are specific about it. The bread, and we know from the gospel account that it would have been unleavened bread because it was the night of the Passover. No leaven. So not just bread in general, but unleavened bread. And then Jesus says the fruit of the vine. And so these would be additions, meat, potatoes, hot dogs, and a whole list of other kinds of foods. That's going to be an addition. That's not authorized. Why? Because it was spelled out. Bread and the cup or the fruit of the vine, you see. So there are things that are aids, and then there are things that are additions. Now, here's a good time to just stop and illustrate why this is important. Maybe this will help as well. There are people who rightly understand on this side of the chart that we have things today. We have things. We've already used some things this morning that they didn't use in the first century. They probably didn't have a gold plate in the first century or that thing over there with little holes in it. They probably didn't have that. So we've used something that they didn't use. Okay? The argument then is, this over here, yeah, that wasn't used in the first century, but since we have some things over here that weren't used in the first century, what's the problem with this stuff over here that wasn't used in the first century? Do you see why it's important? This over here allows for things, as time goes on, things are going to change. We're using PowerPoint over here. We're using all kinds of things over here because it's under the generic authority. If it's specific, it's got to be exactly the way it was in the first century. And so not distinguishing that, not understanding that, people have just, well, we do all kinds of things today that weren't in the first century. And they start by looking at authorized things over here and then jumping to things over here that are actually additions and are not allowed. And so this principle is extremely important to understand. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 14 with regard to assembling. This is a great example. We've got the Green Ridge Church of Christ that has a big gymnasium. A big gymnasium. There are denominational churches that have family life centers and fellowship halls where there's big kitchens, entertainment areas, things like that. Okay? Let's talk about the matter of why we come together. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14, when the whole church be assembled together. There are statements in the New Testament that are generic in nature involving assembling. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Or in 1 Corinthians 14, when the whole church be assembled together. So there has to be an assembly on the first day of the week. There has to be an assembly of brethren. But because it's generic in nature, any aid or expediency would be allowed. There's got to be some, we have to agree on some time. There's got to be some time in that 24-hour period. There's got to be some place, even if it's just under a tree somewhere, building, house, rental, tent, whatever. There's got to be a time, there's got to be a place, and that's agreed upon by the brethren. There's got to be some place or location where we're going to do that, you see. And so when we assemble together, all of these things are allowed in carrying out that command to assemble. But notice, there are some specific reasons stated in the Scripture as to why we're here. And when those things are specified, all other things are unauthorized additions. And so they were assembled. When someone comes into your assembly, they will worship God. It's a place to teach. If anyone has a psalm, a revelation, a teaching, they're clearly there in chapter 14 to worship God and to sing. Earlier in the chapter, I didn't include 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. We sing. They were there to sing. They were there to teach. They were there to worship God. They were not there to play basketball. So a gymnasium is not authorized. They were not there to have a general common meal. In fact, in chapter 11, Paul says, if any man's hungry, let him eat at home. So the fellowship hall, the gymnasium, the family life center, all of the fun and games, those are additions to the purpose for why we are there to assemble. And here's another example of the same thing. I had a family member tell me this. Well, you have a building that they didn't have in the first century. You have a building, so why can't I have a gymnasium? It's the same thing. No, it's not. Because a building is simply carrying out the general command to assemble. A gymnasium is a completely different purpose for why you're coming together. And so we have to understand the importance of generic and specific authority. Let's look at the matter of the collection. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm listing just a handful of examples. This is on every page of your Bible. This is on every page of your Bible. We're just listing a few examples this morning to hopefully help us understand these very important principles. Because when we get them confused and we flip-flop them or we don't follow them, then anything and everything comes into the name of religion. Look at the matter of the collection. And hopefully you're in the mode now. Our mind is in the mode of whenever I'm looking at this, I'm going to be looking for generic. I'm going to be looking for specific. Let's get in that mode. Verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints. Just stop right there. We're going to use our money. We're going to use our money to have a carnival. What's it for? You don't even get very far into the verse. It's the collection for the saints. There was a needy saint problem, and that's what it's being collected for, you see? It's not being collected for something else. So just right there, you see. We've got to be careful. But when we just sort of read in general or don't read at all, and then anything comes into the name of religion, we find so many unauthorized things. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, that's specific. As I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you also. It's for the churches of Galatia. That's why we say it's not for visitors. It's not for just anybody that comes in. It's for the church, you see. Specific. Upon the first day of the week. Is that specific? Pretty specific. How many first days of the week are there? Was it Mike or Brandon the other day that said something like, I'll come help you on the second Tuesday of next week or something like that? Somebody told me that recently. I like that. I'll help you on the second Tuesday of next week. Well, there is no second Tuesday. There's one first day of the week. There's not, you know, just any. There's just one, you see. And so that's very specific. Let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper. As he may prosper is general in nature. There's not a specific amount that is given. So you begin to see these kinds of things. Let each one of you, on the first day of the week, very specific. So any other day is an addition. It's not allowed. And this is a lay by him in store. It's now concerning the collection for the saints, lay by him in store. There's no authority for raising money in some other way other than a collection that is a lay buying in store, taking it out and giving it into a collection. Raffles, bingos, businesses, any other way. There's all kinds of ways to raise money other than a collection, but all of those would be additions. But he says, let each one of you lay by him in store that no collections be made when I come. So there's a collection. Well, let each one of you lay by him in store. We pass a basket. You could put it in something on your way out. You could put it in something on your way in. You could pass it around and when it comes to you, put it in. Or you could walk up to something. It doesn't matter. There's going to be a lay buying in store when it's all done with. And so any of this would be an aid or an expediency. And Paul said that no collections be made when I come. We could hold that in a milk can. You could put it in a coffee can and put it over there on the shelf if you wanted to. You could put it in a bank account. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, it's not to be something that's collected at the last minute. It's a collection. It doesn't matter if we use a coffee can, bank account, put it in somebody's pocket. You know, you could do that. It may not be expedient, but you could do it. The point is that this is general in nature, and so it allows for these things. But when something is spelled out, and the nature of it is spelled out, then all of this other is an unauthorized addition. Let's look at singing. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Somebody says, well, why don't y'all have instrumental music? Because it's been spelled out, the type of music. It's not a matter of we don't have anybody that can play the organ. It's not a matter of we don't have money to buy an organ. It's not a matter of members of the church aren't musicians. It's not that at all. It's that when it comes to music, there's two kinds of music.
You can either make it with your voice or you can make it with some kind of instrument. And when the type of music has been specified, anything else would be an addition. I've had people ask me before, well, why don't y'all have a band? Is it because y'all don't believe in music?
Well, that's music. And there's vocal music. It's all music. What? It's not a matter of what we believe in or like or feel or have money for. You don't have place up here for an organ. It's none of that. It's a matter of authority. It's a matter of authority. It's always been a matter of authority. So when in Ephesians 5:19, Paul says, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, there's some things about that that are generic in nature. Singing. Well, as long as it's singing, it could be singing by just sitting there. In the Philippines, many of their songs are memorized. They don't have songbooks. A man stands up and he just starts singing a song and they all start singing. It's memorized. You don't have to have a songbook. A songbook is an aid, but you don't have to have it. You could have a song leader or not. I've been in some assemblies where nobody started it. You just sort of started. No man got up front. No pitch pipe. You could have four-part harmony. One in early Christian music, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th century, it was all in unison. The four-part thing is something different, but it's not changing singing. Singing and making melody is going to allow for, we might have a PA system or not, we could just add other things in it. But when he says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that limits it to the type of things that we're singing. And so pop, country, rock, oldies, whatever, all of that would be an unauthorized. We talk about Christian rock today. There's a couple of problems with that, but a lot of it is the instrumental music, and then a lot of it is not psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But here's something very important. Look at this. Singing and making melody with your heart. It's singing and making melody. Had he just said make melody, then yes. Any type of music, vocal or instrumental, would be authorized. But he didn't do that. He said making melody with your heart. And so instrumental music is an addition. Was it in the Old Testament? Absolutely. But God's authority under the church is, he says, I just simply want singing. Turn with me to the matter of teaching. There have been two things among brethren, and this came out in the early 1900s, from the influence of a few particular gospel preachers, and you'll see a little bit of this still today. But there are some brethren who believe that you should just have one cup when you serve the fruit of the vine, one cup. And they see multiple cups as unauthorized and liberal and adding what God... But they don't understand that when Jesus in Luke 22 said, take this cup and divide it among yourselves, that allows for the distribution of it in whatever authorized way that would account for, whatever expedient or aid that would count for. So they say, no, you just have to have one. And then in this matter right here, they say that when you look at the New Testament and you see the church coming together, you never see individual Bible classes like we have. Everybody's got to be sitting in the same group during the Bible class. So it's called the no class brethren. They don't have individual Bible classes. They have one. Well, again, it's a matter of understanding this point about authority. You can't find anywhere in the New Testament where Corinth or somebody came together and then the little kids went to that room and then the next size up went to that room and then the next size up went to that room and the adults stayed. You don't see that. Well, is that authorized? It is under generic authority. We're to teach others, and so that might be, we could have one class, that'd be fine. One or more classes, we could use materials or not. Some people have a Bible class with just their Bible. Some have a workbook, piece of paper, no paper, visual aids or not. That's you're teaching. That's all you're doing. But then there's some things that are specified. Paul said, the things which you have heard from me, the same commit to others. It has to be the gospel. It can't be teaching any other subject. That's why we don't offer. There are churches of Christ that offer Lamaze classes. Lamaze.
There are churches of Christ that offer money management courses, and they'll get somebody like Dave Ramsey to come in or something like that. These are subjects that are fine, but it's not the work of the church. We're to teach the same things that Paul taught. In other words, anything else would be an addition. So we get the point then. Now, on the matter of expediencies, we need to come down toward the close of our lesson. Expediencies have to have some generic authority behind it. Make an ark. There's got to be some command first of a generic nature. They must always edify. And the reason I've put this chart in here is, if we have a general command to do something, that doesn't mean that anything we want to bring in, because it may not overall edify. Okay? We may bring something in that not everybody might be able to do physically, you see. What if you had some members of the church that absolutely could not get up and walk? Well, is it expedient to make them walk by the Lord's table to get their bread? That wouldn't be expedient. You're forcing them to get up and they can't even walk. Or it's hard to get the wheelchair around. So it'd be better just to pass it to them, you see. There are some things that are expedient, but they may not work with everybody. And so we have to take all that into consideration. We can't offend somebody else's conscience. We can't add to or substitute for God's word. And I'm moving through these things quickly, but I wanted to put this chart in here to say that just because we have generic authority, then any aid or expediency, well, not necessarily. Paul said that all things are lawful, but not all things edify, not all things are expedient, 1 Corinthians 6:12 and so forth. So even though we have generic authority, we're not going to pick something that causes a problem for somebody else. And so we do need to take that into consideration. Now, generic authority then. Generic authority is unspecified as to the details. And so it allows us to have any authorized aid or expediency to carry it out. Listen, there's going to be some latitude. There's going to be some freedom. There's going to be some place for judgment. Okay? But here is where the rub comes often, and that is where people want to have latitude and freedom and judgment when it's actually been specified. So specific authority is explicit. It's spelled out to the details. Go for wood. He couldn't have been more specific than that. See, no additions, no alternatives, you see, no latitude, no freedom, no judgment. This is the way it is, period. Sometimes God authorizes generically. Sometimes God authorizes specifically. Now, as we come to the close of our lesson, I want to make this very important point, and then the lesson is yours. Be as general as God is general. Don't add any specifics of your own. And when God is specific, be as specific as God is specific. Don't try to make it more general. The apostles in Matthew 16, 19, 18, 18, they were told, whatever has been bound in heaven, you bind on earth. Whatever has been loosed in heaven, you loose on earth. In other words, just be like God. If He's general, then be general. If He's specific, be specific. Now, I want to close with these last two points. And bear with me just a moment, because this is very important. Somebody might say, well, that's all well, fine, and good. But is that, all of that that you've been talking about this morning, is that actually in the Bible? Or is that something that you come up with and then you're imposing it back on the Bible? What we've been talking about this morning is actually in the Bible. And we're going to look at two test cases. Number one, turn with me to Acts chapter 15. We're not allowed to make something specific if God hasn't made it that specific. Do you remember in Acts chapter 15 where Paul and others had been preaching to the Gentiles and they were saved exactly like the Jews? They expressed their faith in Christ. They were baptized into Christ. Now we have people coming along. Look at Acts 15 and verse 5. They're saying, no. They also have to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. That's making it more specific than what God made it. They're already saved by faith in Christ, obedience to the gospel, being baptized into Christ. You don't have a right to come along and make it more specific and say, well, no. We've got to add some more little details here. Circumcision, the law of Moses. No, you can't do that. And so Peter, Paul, James, stand up and say, no, no. And look at how they describe it in verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. No greater burden. You're not allowed to come along here and specify and restrict it down even more. You can't do that. You do the necessary things, but nothing more than that. Do you see? Do you see how someone can get more specific than you're supposed to be? That's very important. So we have no right to do that. We have no right to come along in the matters of the work and worship of the church and say, it's got to be done this way. If God has authorized something in a generic way, it would be like me telling Larry, Larry's saying, well, okay, go into all the world. But I tell Larry, no, that has to be done by an airplane or it's sinful. Well, no, he's just operating under generic authority. But I'm coming along trying to make that more specific, you see. I can't do that. But, and here's probably, we don't know the percentages. This is often done. But I would probably say that this next one is more so done in the religious world. And that is where we come along and we make something generic that God has made specific. And you know where we get a good example of that? Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 13. Do you remember when David and the others wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem? Do you remember when they wanted to do that? What did they put that on? How did they bring that back to Jerusalem? They put it on a new cart. When the law had specified what? It had specified that the priests carry on their shoulders with poles, pretty specific. And then David says, no, we're going to put it on a new ark because we can be more general than God is specific. He's narrow. That's one little narrow way of carrying it. But I'm going to just sort of, no, we put it on a new cart. Look at what happened. We know the story. They're bringing it along. Look at chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. They're bringing it along. The oxen stumble. The cart begins to move and fall. The thing's going to fall over. Uzzah puts his hand up there and touches it, and he's struck dead. Now, look at this very important passage. Look at chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. When David realizes where they had gone wrong, where they had gone wrong was they had made more general what God had made specific. They realized, we've messed up. Look at what is said in the text. They go back, they look at the law of Moses, chapter 15, 1, 2, 3. Look at chapter 2, the Levites are supposed to carry it, you see, and all that. Look at verse 13. For because we bear it not at the first, we didn't let the Levites put it on their shoulders with the poles, Jehovah our God made a breach upon us. He killed Uzzah. For that we sought him not according to the ordinance. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of Jehovah. And the children of the Levites bear the ark upon their shoulders. Well, just like God said to do it back in Numbers chapter 4. And everything's fine. But look at verse 13. We sought him not according to the ordinance. You underscore that in your Bible. That's exactly the way we need to live with regard to God's authority in our life. What does the verse say? And we're going to seek him according to what the ordinance says. We're not just going to just in general do whatever. Very important. These are not principles that we're imposing our own and then putting them back on the text. These are coming straight out of the text. We cannot make specific what God has made generic. Neither can we make specific generic what God has made specific. And so, the lesson is yours. We must always walk by God's authority. Sometimes He does that in a general way, allowing us to have aids and expediencies to carry those things out. Sometimes He tells us things in a very specific way. And you and I love God, we honor God, that we're going to seek Him according to the ordinance, and we're going to be as specific as He is specific. And you know what? Then we're going to be blessed. They come bringing that thing in, and everything's fine. Why? They followed God's word. And that's the way it is. And if we can encourage you to do that this morning, just simply follow God's word. Not trying to add to it or take from it. Not trying to change it in any way. But simply follow God's word. Let us go out and learn each and every day. We must have authority for what we do, and we're learning in these lessons how that we can establish that authority. If we can assist you in any way, if we can help you in any way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing?